It's been a year of wins for the members of the Robinson-Huron Treaty's 21 signatory nations, but it has also been one filled with confusion, concern, and finally, treaty rights upheld by the Supreme Court. This year meant the first of the per capita payments, the $10 billion in settlement monies divvied up among the First Nations were distributed to their members, and for some, a second payment as well. In 2022, Sudbury.com spoke with an economist who determined that the funding gap between non-treaty citizens and treaty signatories was more than $825 million in 2020. According to his calculations, government spending totaled $30,881 per non-treaty citizen in 2020. The average expenditures on 2020 programs and services per Robinson-Huron Treaty member was $9,021. The treaty annuities case has been ongoing since 2010, meant to attach a dollar value to a clause in the original Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850, one that saw those who lived on the land share a portion of the resources money. After the historic announcement of a $10 billion settlement reached in June 2023, leaders of the 21 signatory First Nations have attempted to host education sessions to show members not only the path that led to the settlement, but what they feel was the original intent of the treaty, collective benefit. That meant holding back a portion of the settlement to be used for the long-term betterment of each community. Depending on the members and their faith in their leaders, that decision was either accepted or derided. Many told Sudbury.com they felt that because the treaty payment had always been an individual payment, it should stay that way. Others decided they did not trust their chief and council to use the funds appropriately. One such case is ongoing at the entrance to Ikamekshang Anishinaabeg on Reserve Road near Naughton. Members of a group called Atikamekshang Strong are temporarily holding back those who wish to enter or exit the reserve until their chief, Gama Craig Nuchtai, agrees to meet with them. They say their leadership told them there would be a vote on how much would be held back, but that vote never came. There have also been questions surrounding the legal fees charged by the team from Corbière Nouagabo, which represented the Robinson-Huron lobbying body in the courts. When the settlement was reached, the legal fees totaled $510 million of the $10 billion settlement, with which both Garden River First Nation and Atikamekshang Anishinaabeg took issue. They challenged those fees in court, arguing that the case was similar to a class action suit and therefore subject to a set formula for calculating legal fees. Superior Court Justice Janice Steele agreed, and ruled the fees should be reassessed. Sudbury.com also spoke with members of a group referred to by Indigenous Services Canada as Sudbury 817. Members of the list are Indigenous and entitled to Robinson-Huron Treaty annuity payments, but because they are not members of a First Nation, they have no representation in the process for securing funds owed to them. They spoke of their concerns, including a lack of information about how much and when they will receive their share, but also, who will represent them in the go-forward negotiations. Go-forward negotiations are the next step for all treaty members. As the $10 billion settlement was to account for lost revenue in the past, from 1850 to today, but there is still the question of how much the now $4 treaty annuity amount will be in the future. Jenny Lamothe is a reporter with Sudbury.com.